We kindly request all the brothers to come forward close to the minbar. Maulana Sahab is a well-known person, alhamdulillah. A lot of people are benefiting from him. He is also the Khalifa of Maulana Saifullah Khalid and Maulana Naimullah Faruqi from Pakistan. We request all the brothers, it is the month of Ramadan, do stay over inshallah. It will be rewarding.
Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا صدق الله المولانا العظيم. My respected friends and elders, from the onset I would like to point out to yourselves that I am not here to do a bayan, but I have come as a reminder to remind you of what our duties are. Alhamdulillah, Leicester is such a place where there are a vast number of jayyid ulama, very good ulama, and from amongst them is Maulana Muhammad Sindhi and Maulana Dawood Sahab as well. This morning, Maulana Muhammad Sindhi, he rang me and he made a very humble request that I should present myself tonight in the presence of my brothers so that we can learn from each other about the deen. Initially, I did not accept his request, I refused, because I thought it was the month of Ramadan and I don't usually travel in the month of Ramadan. And then a thought occurred to me that in the month of Ramadan I shouldn't break somebody's heart. I've known Maulana Muhammad Sahib for quite a long time and alhamdulillah he's a very good friend of mine. Whenever a speaker is invited to go and give a talk, they always deliberate what they should talk about. What should their topic be? Sometimes they're told what to speak on. Sometimes they have a choice. So very briefly with Maulana Muhammad Saab, we had a conversation on the phone. And of course, because the speech is in English, so it's geared towards the younger generation, so that they come and sit in the mosque and learn about the deen. So inshallah, very, very briefly, I will speak a little bit about the younger generation. But I'm going to concentrate a little bit on the month of Ramadan and what the month of Ramadan is all about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created man. Allah says in the Quran, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, that in the creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created many hundreds of thousands of creation. But amongst all those creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made man the most beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has molded man in the best of molds, made man very beautiful. As beautiful as man is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala furthermore endowed upon man, bestowed blessings upon man. Those blessings were that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Anbiya alayhi musalam to guide this man to the right path, so that this man would recognize Allah and attain a status in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored us the most out of all of insan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored us by making us from the ummah of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one blessing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us man. A second blessing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us from the ummah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then a further blessing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this moment in time has given us the blessed month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah. And we are benefiting fully and wholeheartedly from the month of Ramadan. And we have just done that in this night by performing 20 rakats of Taraweeh. We all get tired after doing 20 rakats of Taraweeh, and we all have our needs that we need to attend to, and we all feel like going home very quickly. I won't take a lot of your time, I will come to the point very shortly. And in these blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the tawfiq, with the ability to come into the masjid and sit with the ulama and read behind the imam and listen to the Quran. The Quran is the book of Allah, and the Quran is the most blessed book. Allah says in the Quran, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن, that it is this month, the month of Ramadan, in which the Quran was revealed. Furthermore, Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, that this Quran was revealed on the night of power, on the night of Qadr. When does this night occur? This night occurs in the month of Ramadan. According to one hadith, it is narrated that the night of power, the night of Qadr, is the 27th of Ramadan. And so everywhere, all over in the world, wherever there are Muslims performing Taraweeh and celebrating Ramadan, because Ramadan itself is a celebration. Ramadan is a guest. This guest comes to us with many gifts. What are these gifts? These gifts are blessings. What are these blessings? This blessing is the roza, the fasting that we do in the day. And the other blessing is that in the night we stand and we listen to the Taraweeh. And in the Taraweeh, the Quran al-Kareem is recited. When a person begins his fast, he begins by doing his sahri in the morning, at the time of Subh Sadiq, before Fajr. It is narrated in the Ahadith that it is preferable for this individual to delay his sahri as much as he can. Technically, according to the Sharia, sahri is all about after Isha, going to sleep, waking up, and then having your early morning meal or whatever it may be, your cup of tea. For sahri, that is known as sahri. Not to stay awake in the night and then have your sahri at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock and go to sleep, and then we don't even know if we're going to wake up for our Salatul Fajr or not. If an individual delays his sahri, then his fast is not acceptable either. So So the Sharia has to be taken into consideration at all times. That the Sharia says the fast will begin at a particular time, and so it will begin at that time. Through the day, an individual fasts. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayh, he says there are three categories of individuals that fast. One category of individual is the awam, the layman. What they do is they fast through the day and they only take two things into consideration. Those two things are that they abstain from eating, which is what Roza is all about, and they abstain from having a physical relationship with the wife. These are two things they do, they do not take anything else into consideration. This is the first classification of that individual who performs his fast in the day. The second classification of individual is known as the elite type of individual of a higher status. That individual, he fasts through the day, but he also takes into consideration not committing sins. He does not commit sins with his hands and with his feet. Allah says, اليوم نختم على أفواههم وتكلمنا أيديهم وتشهد أرجلهم بما كانوا يكسبون. On that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us for our sins that we did with our mouth, that we did with our hands and with our feet, our legs. But what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day will seal the mouth. The hands will testify and the legs will give testification as to what this individual did in terms of sinning. So Imam Ghazali says that there is a second classification of individual. He performs his fast and he abstains from sinning in that way. The third classification of individual, call them, if you may, the creme de la creme. That means, it's a French saying, that means the cream on top of the cream. It's to indicate the status of this individual. The creme de la creme are those individuals who, when they fast, they forget everyone around them and they are constantly in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they disconnect with the world. Now that does not mean that they disassociate with their wife or with their children. They continue their life in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They talk to the wife, they talk to the children. They make all these things, but they focus on one thing. Their focus is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Ghazali says there are three classifications of individuals that perform fast. I make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from the creme de la creme. Say Ameen. You all want to be from the creme de la creme, don't you? I don't want to hear anything. So there are these three individuals, these three types of categories of individuals that perform the fast. We need to take the Sharia into consideration into how we pass our day. A lot of us, we are fasting yet we forget that we are not supposed to commit a sin by the eyes, we are not supposed to commit a sin by the ear, and we are not supposed to commit a sin by the tongue. You come into the mosque, alhamdulillah, there is tranquility in the mosque. You can feel the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending in the mosque. You can feel the sakina coming down in the mosque. Therefore, when you come into the mosque, you recite a dua for the rahmat of Allah to descend upon you. But when you leave the mosque, you put your left foot out of the mosque, and what sort of environment have you entered? You have entered an environment that is full of evil. You have entered an environment that is totally anti-Islamic. You have entered an environment that is going to kill you on your sunnah. If you practice the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that environment out there is going to say, why are you wearing the imamah? That environment out there is going to say, why are you fasting today? Not within the Muslim community. There are individuals in the Muslim community, especially the youth. For some reason, they do not take into consideration that they should be fasting. You see a lot of youth, they may be walking on the street and they're having a cigarette. The Aimmah especially, they have a lot of calls. And the ulama, they ask masail. Can we fast? Or is it okay? Because we go to work and sometimes I develop a headache. Is it okay if I abstain from fasting? Subhanallah, this individual does not appreciate the fact that he is going to lose one of the greatest blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this ummah, and that is fasting in the month of Ramadan. What is the point of fasting? The point of fasting is twofold. One, it is to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and secondly, to inculcate taqwa. To inculcate the fear of Allah. To bring about a realization that I should be acting upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or should I be going against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Should I be doing this or should I be doing that? Is it right or wrong? That is what taqwa is all about. Usually when we hear from the ulama about the fear of Allah, we think we need to sit in one corner and we need to have a tasbih in our hand and we need to be reciting the Quran all the time. That is not the case. It's easy. You come into this environment, alhamdulillah, you see in the month of Ramadan, people are set and they are reciting the Quran. They enjoy reciting the Quran. People come in the mosque, they're reading. You will notice they read two extra knuckles, which they wouldn't ordinarily. Why? Because they enjoy it. You enjoy it, don't you? We enjoy it in the month of Ramadan, especially more so because there are blessings in the month of Ramadan. Where do these blessings come from? The relationship of these blessings are with the Quran Kareem. As blessed as the Quran is, it was revealed in the month of Ramadan. As blessed as the Quran Kareem is, individuals enjoy reciting the Quran in the month of Ramadan. And so you see people reciting the Quran Kareem. Then anyway, he passes his day and he does his iftar. The Prophet ﷺ said, the individual most beloved to me is that individual who is quick, who does his iftar quickly. After we perform Salatul Asr and we think, today I'm hungry, I'll go and do my iftar, that iftar won't count. Iftar in accordance to the Sharia, at the time when the sun sets, immediately as the sun has set, one should perform his iftar. If he delays it by 5 minutes, 10 minutes, without reason, then that, for that individual to do so is makruh. So the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is that when an individual, he performs his iftar, what does he perform his iftar with? He uses dates. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said that when you make iftar, when you break your fast, use the date. Break your fast with the date, because there are blessings in it, because there is barakah in it. There is a hadith which Hazrat Mujaddid al-Fisani rahmatullahi alayh has quoted in his maqsubat. And then he says that when Adam alayhi salam was created, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was created from clay. And there was some clay that remained. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do with the remainder of clay? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the date tree. So man has a relationship with the date. Man has a relationship with the date tree. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, break your fast using the date. So Hazrat Mujaddid al-Qisani, he says that when a person has been staying hungry through the day, he has lost a lot of his energy, his vitamins, he's burnt out a lot of his minerals and so on, which the body stores and uses. The date is such a fruit that when an individual eats it on a hungry stomach at the end of the day after having fasted through the day, the body uses that date straight away and manipulates all that energy that is stored in the date, the minerals, the vitamins that are in the date, and begins to use them straight away. There is no other fruit, there is no other food, there is nothing else in the world that does that. Therefore the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when you break your fast using the date. Now you've experienced this when you eat the date, when you've been fasting through the day, and you sit there and you look at the date and it's time, and then you pick up the date and you put the date in your mouth. As soon as you swallow the date, don't you feel happy? There's a certain amount of happiness attached to that. Well, if you haven't, then think about it next time. When you eat the date, you will feel happy. This happiness, alhamdulillah, comes about because, one, we have acted upon a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there's a great blessing in that itself. And secondly, we have eaten something that we have a relationship with it, and that is, we were created from a certain clay, and the date tree was created from that same clay. The relationship of Ramadan al-Mubarak is with the Quran, and you see individuals reciting the Quran. You see people, I know of individuals that don't recite the Quran through the year, which is not right, but alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan al-Mubarak, they will sit down and recite the Quran al-Kareem. They will endeavor and make an effort to recite the Quran al-Kareem at least once in the month of Ramadan. They may not do so at other times. That's another topic, we're not going to discuss that now. The blessings that are attached in the month of Ramadan with the Quran al-Kareem are there for us to reap. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when an individual recites Alif Lam Mim, for Alif there are 10 rewards, for Lam there are 10 rewards, for Mim there are 10 rewards, and so that is 30. But in the month of Ramadan, what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a reward manifold. And it is mentioned that it is 70 times greater. So it's 70 times 10, which is 700, plus 700, plus 700, the mathematicians can work out how much that is. So for in the month of Ramadan, Alif Lam Mim will be so much more reward for it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us. And with regards to Sawm, with regards to fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's a hadith Qudsi, wa an azri bihi, that I will give the reward for this, for the fasting. Why? Because other people cannot see you fasting. When you fast totally for the pleasure of Allah. Only you know you are fasting. Imagine those youth, they say to them, mother and father, They wake up for Sehri, then they go out, and in the morning they're smoking, they're going out, they're eating, and when they come back in the evening, they pretend they're fasting. This reward is not for them. Of course, they are committing a sin, especially in the month of Ramadan. That sin becomes manifold. So for that individual that fasts in the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give that individual this reward. Only Allah knows this, what that reward is going to be. It's going to be beyond our comprehension. If you look at the lives of the awliya Allah and how they used to spend the month of Ramadan, in particular they used to spend a lot of time in the recitation of the Quran al-Kareem and developing a relationship with the Quran al-Kareem. There's a buzruk, a wali, a saint from India, from the area of Turkeswar. His name is Hazrat Musa Ji Mehtar Rahmatullahi Alayh. Some of you may have heard his name. He is a buzruk from the Naqshbandi Silsila. It is related about him that he used to plow the field. In those days, our mashayikh, our ulama, they used to earn their living by their own hands. They used to want to eat from what they've worked for. And Hazrat Musa Ji Mehtar Rahmatullahi Alayh, he used to plow his field. He had a farm. Now don't imagine that it's a farm like you know of here, where miles, if you walk for miles and that farm is just continues, it does not end. It wasn't like that. It was a small farm which he used to plow. And when Hazrat used to begin plowing, at one end of the field, and that plow would be jacked. Hazrat would arrive at the other end of the field of his farm. Hazrat would begin reciting Quran al-Kareem from Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. When he would come to the end of his farm, he would reach one last. Hazrat used to recite one Quran once. Ismail Shaheed Rahmatullahi Alayh, once he was in Delhi, and perchance he related, as I am relating now, that there are some buzruks who can recite the Quran al-Kareem between the time of Asr and Maghrib and finish it. So there was one individual there, a Murtaqid of Hazrat, somebody who had faith and belief in Hazrat. So he thought that Hazrat was talking about himself. So he went to Hazrat and he said, "Please, Hazrat, can you do this? I want to hear you recite the Quran al-Kareem from Asr till Maghrib." So Hazrat said, "Look, it's not me." He tried to make excuses, but he wouldn't listen, he wouldn't have it. Eventually, he agreed, and Hazrat said, "Fine, at this appointed time, come near the river, and I will recite the Quran near the river." So obviously when something like that is going to happen, people get excited. So this individual, he went and told everyone, that, "You know, Hazrat is going to recite the Quran." So anyway, people came. Hazrat arrived. After Asr, Hazrat began reciting Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Precisely when it was the time of Maghrib, the azan was being given, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Hazrat reached one nas. And he finished the Quran in that period of time between Asr and Maghrib. Now we may think, this is impossible. How can somebody do that? It is possible. If you look at the life of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayh, it is related about him that he used to finish 60 Quran in 1 month of Ramadan. That means one in the day, one at night. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya rahmatullahi alayh, he had read this and he had thought about this. How can this be possible? Once Hazrat tried. And so what did Hazrat do? Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya rahmatullahi alayh, he completed 60 Qurans in one Ramadan. Now I know I have been with Hufaz, the Hafiz. And some of them have made an effort. In one night they can read 20, 25. It's not difficult to complete a Quran. If we endeavor and if we try to finish the Quran Kareem, of course we must not sacrifice the recitation of the Quran Kareem. Like you have heard the Imams reciting today, you heard recitations at different speeds. Each one of those imams recited at a different speed. Alhamdulillah, there is a form of enjoyment in listening to the Quran in all those different forms or speeds of recitation of the Quran. You understand what I'm saying, yeah? So not to sacrifice the recitation, say the qaf, say the kaf, say the sad, say the seen, and so on. Take the tajweed into consideration. When a person recites the Quran, it is mentioned in the hadith that when he recites the Quran, a noor comes out of his mouth. Isn't this sufficient reward that in the month of, especially in the month of Ramadan, we recite the Quran and there is a noor coming out of our mouth? There are huzrus, there are saints, there are walis of Allah who have witnessed these things. There is a buzruk, his name is Hazrat Abdul Aziz Dabbar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him an insight into this. When somebody used to recite the Quran, he could see the noor and he could tell that this is recitation of the Quran. He was not educated at all. He didn't know how to write, he didn't know how to read. So people used to come to him to test him. They used to recite the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used to recite poetry in front of him. They used to recite ayat of the Quran al-Karim in front of him. When somebody recited an ayat of the Quran al-Karim in front of him, straight away he would say, this is a verse of the Quran al-Karim. When a person recites the Quran, the angel comes and comes closer and closer and closer to this individual until the angel comes so close that the angel kisses the forehead on this individual due to him reciting the Quran al-Karim. You may ask this question, what is all this noor about? We don't see this. There are individuals who see this noor. Hazrat Mawlana Fazal Ali Qureshi rahmatullahi alayhi is a buzrug in the Naqshbandi silsila. He says, again, he was one of those individuals who used to plow his own field. So Hazrat says that when an individual plows the field in the condition of wudu, when an individual harvests the crop in the condition of wudu, when an individual grinds the wheat in the condition of wudu, when an individual cooks the roti, the chapati, the naan in the condition of wudu, then shouldn't we eat that ni'mah of Allah in the condition of wudu? There are many blessings. These blessings, we do not see those pious individuals who have made a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they see. Hazrat Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, his student is Hazrat Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. On one occasion, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was visiting Hazrat Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi. So Hazrat Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, he said to his daughter, "This is great Imam coming. So I want you to cook a very nice, good meal and cook well." So when Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi came, he sat and he ate. And Hazrat Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi's daughter, she was clever. She wanted to test Imam Sahib to see what category of Allah wala he was. So what she did is she gazed, she saw how much he ate. Then at night before he went to sleep, she put a jug full of water there so that Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi at night would get up, make wudu to perform his tahajjud. In the morning, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, he went for salah, and the daughter of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, she came and she saw that the jug was still full of water. She thought to herself, what sort of an imam is he? What sort of Allah wala is he? What sort of a saint or what sort of a friend of Allah is he? Anyway, she went to her father and she said to her father, "Father, I have noticed these things. One, he ate too much at night, and then secondly, he didn't get up for tahajjud." So Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, he went to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, and he said to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, that Hazrat, my daughter, she has noticed these things. Hazrat Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, he said that when I was eating the food, I saw nur coming from the food. There was so much blessing in that food Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put there. Alhamdulillah, it was halal food. Alhamdulillah, it was the daughter of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh. I am making a guess that inshallah she would have been in the condition of wudu. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, he says that I saw this nur coming from the food. So what I decided, I ate more and more and more so that I would take into me as much nur as I could of what was coming from the food. And then at night, due to all the food that I had eaten and all the nur and the barakah and the blessing of that nur was such that I did not sleep at night. But through the night, I contemplated the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I derived rules and regulations from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I did many hundreds of masail rules and regulations during the night due to the blessing of that nur that was in the food. So what we eat, if it is inshallah it is halal, then this nur, we get this nur. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we get this nur. أَفَمَنْ شَرَهَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens an individual's chest, his heart, to Islam, فَهُوَ, that is a nur, نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ, that is a nur, a light from his to sustain his cherisher, his creator. And when an individual takes into consideration the Sharia, the Quran, the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, eating halal, abstaining from haram, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just increases that nur that is contained in his heart. As Allah says in the Quran, when an individual recites the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases his iman. So there is a direct relationship of attaining this. Now we shouldn't go home and start thinking, well, I'm going to start doing my nawafil and I'm going to start reading extra Quran so that I can start seeing this nur. It doesn't come like that. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses individuals on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows these blessings. In the verse that I recited in the beginning in the khutbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. That, O you faithful, you who believe. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing our attention. So when I say, O Abdullah, if your name is Abdullah, straight away your attention is drawn. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing our attention, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe. Alhamdulillah, we are all believers. Allah says, Qu anfusakum, save yourselves. Wa ahlikum, and your family, your children, your wife, from the fire of hell. The month of Ramadan is all about saving ourselves. The first set of 10 days are days of mercy. The second set of 10 days from the 11th to the 20th are days when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sins. The days from the 21st to the 30th says, go back. when they said that, I thought about it, and you know, there's some sort of truth in what they're saying. Why is it that when in Birmingham, there's an area called Solihull, there's an area called Sutton Coalfield, if you go into those areas, there's a certain class of individuals that live. They're not third class like we are. They live in those areas. When you go in those areas, there are no posters or all this filth up there. They're saved from that. Anyway, when you go outside, there's evil. You walk on the street, you hear a car will go past, and you hear music blaring out of there, and it's possibly a Muslim, another brother of ours. Also in the month of Ramadan, they do not abstain. Day in, day out, I live in an area where I see these things. I talk to these people, I walk on the street. When I'm going to Salah, I say to these guys, say, look, it's time for Namaz, let's go, just 5 minutes, and then, of course, it's up to them if they listen or not, I'm doing my duty. We are going to save ourselves, then we should not be selfish and say, I am going to do all my acts of worship and save myself and going to Jannah. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the best of the ummah. Out of all the other ummah. And what is the speciality of this ummah? The speciality of this ummah. You are privileged. We are privileged. We are all the ummahs of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are privileged, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that we enjoin good and forbid the evil. We see somebody, particularly in the month of Ramadan, we're coming to the mosque, we are going to sit between Asr and Maghrib to recite the Quran al-Kareem and apply all those blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give us. We see a brother who we know is not going to come into the mosque, we ask him politely and we say to him, brother, can you come with us? It is a duty upon us. That not only do we save ourselves, but we save our families. Not only do we save our families, but we help our brothers around us, people around us. This month, the month of Ramadan, is a month of dua. In particular, we should be making dua right through the year. At every time, whenever we can, we should make dua after salah, after recitation of Quran, after zikr. But particularly in this month, we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man lam yas'alillah," that individual who does not ask for anything we want, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that individual who does not ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill his need, كذب الله عليه. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes angry with that individual. How long does it take to raise the hands? And the shortest dua that we know that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us is ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. If you don't have time, just that much. You are asking for blessings of this world and the hereafter. Everything is contained in those words. And the more we spend time in the dua, in asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill our needs, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes that. I was reading in one book, and it said that when a child will go to the mother and ask the mother to fulfill the need of the child, the child will say to the mother, "Mother, please, I want this." The mother will give it. Second time, the mother will give it. Third time, the mother will give it. Fourth time, the mother will give it. Sixth time, the mother will get fed up and slap the child and say, "Go away, you're consistently asking for the same thing." Right? That happens, yes? says in the book that when an individual turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill his need. No matter how many times an individual asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill his need. Not 4 times or 5 times like the mother did, but 100 times, 1,000 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill his need. And so we should make dua and remember ourselves, remember our parents, remember our friends, we should remember our families, we should remember, particularly in this month, there are Muslims in other parts of the world who do not have the money to acquire, to make iftar. They do not have the opportunity to fast in this month because they are being persecuted. The least we can do for ourselves and for them as an obligation upon us is that we make dua for them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this trial easy for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me for having taken such a long time of yours. I wanted to speak for half an hour and no more than that. But everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I came, I thought I wouldn't say anything. I'd sit here for 5 minutes and I would say, Jazakallah for bearing with me, and I would have gone home. But what I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in my heart, so I said for the sake of Allah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your sitting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your fasting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your standing in Taraweeh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your acts of worship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your recitation of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you 70-fold for all the good deeds that you do in this holy month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all and bestow all the barakats of the Ramadan upon all of us and upon all the individual, all the Muslims in the world. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به، واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، واخذل أعداءهم اليهود والنصارى والمشركين، اللهم شتت شملهم، اللهم مزق جمعهم، اللهم خرب بيوتهم، اللهم دمر ديارهم، اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم، وامح آثارهم، واقطع دابرهم، وأنزل بهم باسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين. یا اللہ ہمارے گناہ کو معاف فرما. یا اللہ ہم نے دن میں بھی گناہ کیے ہیں، رات کے اندھیرے میں بھی گناہ کیے ہیں. یا اللہ ہمارے تمام کبیرہ صغیرہ گناہوں کو معاف فرما. یا اللہ ہم بہت گنہگار ہیں. یا اللہ ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. یا اللہ ہم نے بڑی کوتاہیاں کی ہیں. یا اللہ ہماری کوتاہیوں کو درگزر فرما. یا اللہ ہم سب کو بخش دے. یا اللہ یہ بخشش کا مہینہ ہے. یا اللہ ہم کو رمضان کی برکات سے نواز دے. یا اللہ ہم سب کی عبادت کو قبول فرما. یا اللہ ہماری نماز کو قبول فرما. یا اللہ ہماری تلاوت کو قبول فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے روزے کو قبول فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے صدقات اور خیرات کو قبول فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے لیے آسان فرما دے. یا اللہ ہمارے لیے اس مبارک مہینے میں عبادت کرنا آسان فرما. یا اللہ روزے کو آسان کر دے. یا اللہ تراویح کو آسان کر دے. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتوب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.